Our scripture reading today from the end of Luke 24 has us continuing the same day, the resurrection day. Luke shows us three events that happen on that first day that Jesus was raised. The women come to the tomb and see an angel. We talked about that last week. Then we talked about Jesus walking on the road to Emmaus with two people. And today we talk about Jesus appearing to the 11 disciples and others who were there. We're unsure how many friends, how many companions were there. But the companions are there, the disciples are there, and the two on the road from Emmaus come back and they explain what have happened. Basically, they're like, holy moly, Jesus was with us the whole time and we didn't even know it. Imagine that scene. And Luke records that there was some kind of private meeting between Jesus and Peter. So that is going on. And as they're all busily comparing notes, here is what happens from Luke 24, beginning at verse 36. While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost doesn't have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" "Got anything to eat? I'm hungry." I love that. They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. And then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." And then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Let us pray. Jesus, you are the living Christ. Oh Lord, open our minds, open our hearts by the power of your Holy Spirit for what you are saying to us. We are listening. Amen. Our text today basically shows us what is important to Jesus for his followers to know right after the resurrection. It shows us what Jesus wants God's people to focus in on and think about, doesn't it? I was thinking of the phrase "striking while the iron is hot." It comes from the 1500s because, of course, when a blacksmith works iron, they heat it in order to make it malleable. Iron only stays hot for a limited amount of time, kind of like our hearts. So we have to hammer and shape it when it is at a perfect temperature. So we capitalize on favorable opportunities when they arise. We seize the correct moment, and that can make all the difference. That's what it looks to me like Jesus is doing here. Shaping the people at a crucial time with just the right touch. God is strategic. Don't ever forget that. God doesn't do things just for kicks. So we have to think that how Jesus shows up matters. Like how he appears here. Like when someone just calls you out of the blue, random, or they show up unannounced to your home. It's always for a good reason. They need you to know something. They need you to help them, or they need something. So when that happens, you pay attention, you listen in a different kind of way, because it's not an ordinary moment. Jesus appears here, transcending space and time without using the door. I would imagine the disciples paid more attention to that. And we know this still happens, that Jesus comes to us in dreams and in worship and through the kindness of just regular people, through the beauty of creation, through a cool breeze on our face when it's hot. His waves of grace and healing occur when we least expect it. How amazing to see Jesus break the laws of the universe to defeat death, so that he might intentionally bless the world, so he might intentionally offer gifts of the certainty of life. So that means that you and I need to pay attention, especially to what Jesus clearly communicates to these people who are assembled together at the end of this first resurrection day, according to Luke. The first word Jesus says is peace. I want everyone to breathe. We breathe in God's peace. When we take time to breathe in God's peace, we might feel just things going down, just taking the temperature down just a little bit. Jesus comes, and the first thing he says is peace. Jesus wants those who follow him to have his peace. The disciples, of course, are naturally afraid about what is going on. Peace is what the angels speak to humans every time they appear, and it is what Jesus speaks over this gathering. It would have been so disturbing to see Jesus after they watched the crucifixion. But Jesus speaks the true shalom. Irene in Greek, which is beyond our limited understanding. It's a peace that seeps into our souls if we allow it. It's a peace that comes and settles our hearts and minds. It's the peace that we long for. It allows breathing room at the core of our very being. The peace that reminds us that we are part of such a bigger, eternal life, a peace that reminds us that we are deeply loved. It's a deeper peace than any reality we experience here. The true meaning of shalom is to make complete or to restore what has been broken. That's what Jesus' death and resurrection does for the world. There's a new kind of wholeness that's possible because of what Jesus accomplished on the cross. Isaiah called the future Messiah the Prince of Peace. Isaiah, who looked forward to the day when true shalom would reign on earth, when God would bring all things together, reconcile all things, all creation, all people. Paul says Jesus is the most complete peace we have from God, because we have peace through the blood of the cross. Peace. Jesus wants his people to have peace, the kind that only he can give. Next, we see how it's important to Jesus that people are able to examine him. He wants to give proof that he is who he says he is. So he shows them his hands and his feet. And is it because it is flesh and bone? Is it because there are scars still? They can touch the Lord. They can see that he is eating. They know Jesus. And so he says, examine me. See that it is I myself. Here Luke says, they are joyfully disbelieving and still wondering. They're looking at him, and they are still joyfully disbelieving and wondering. And we say, yeah, we can understand that. Knowing God is sometimes a surreal thing. These people saw Jesus die, and now they're seeing him very much alive. So we have to read this with minds that recognize how challenging this would have been to the first disciples for them to really get it. Jesus knows this, and he's patient with the process. part of the point of this, of course, is for Luke to communicate that the resurrection is real, that it's not just a ghost that has come for a visit. That Jesus talked a lot to his disciples about his death and resurrection, and they did not get it. They struggled to understand. Now the impact, of course, is much different. They're not in a classroom anymore thinking about some concept at a future time. They are living it. This is not abstract. They are seeing the risen Lord in front of them. How much they would have understood, how pieces would have come together. Oh, this is what you were talking about. Man, I did not get that. I did not see that coming. See, Jesus is never afraid for people to carefully examine him. He welcomes it. He invites it. He knows that it is part of the process of being human. We are suspicious. We doubt. We have to see things for ourselves. We want proof. Jesus is standing right there, and still the people wonder if it's him. And Jesus is like, yeah, it's okay. Touch me. See me. You know me. It's not a bad thing to examine and to have doubt and to seek and to look. It's worse to turn away or to dismiss the miracle of God's life being poured out for us, to miss the risen King. We want to keep learning and inviting others to examine also. We should not be afraid when people want to examine Jesus. Let's do it with them. For the third time that day, Jesus points people who are wondering about if he is the Savior to Scripture. For the third time that day, people are pointed to Scripture. God has given understanding for what happened to Jesus, including his suffering and raising from the grave. And Luke wants us to know and to get the fulfillment of Scripture here. We have to pay attention to this. Sometimes I've heard God's people say, yeah, I read the Bible. Yeah, I know what it says. Yeah, my whole life the Bible has just kind of been held up and I have to have my quiet time or I have to do this. And yeah, I don't want to do it just because the church says I have to. In other words, kind of like been there, done that. That would be fine if the Bible were just a document, but it's the living, breathing word from our holy and loving God given for us. So when we dismiss it, we aren't just dismissing the people who raised us. We are saying that we know better than the Lord who created us and loved us and made us, who graciously gave us truth in a book so that we might know him, who promises to meet us when we read it, when we ingest it, to give us guidance and wisdom and hope through it. Sometimes we have to shed ourselves of the unhelpful cultural or church messages that we have received that aren't consistent with Scripture. But also we have to shed and resist our own way that we don't want to be led, our own resistance to authority. We have to keep integrity with God, keep integrity with the word that we have been given. Jesus says three times in one day how vital the Psalms and the prophets and his teachings, the law, are. Who are we to disregard it or to say that we're past it? That is our own pride that we have to examine. One commentator I read last week just moaned about the fact that Luke didn't spell out what scripture Jesus was talking about. What specifically what prophet or history did Jesus point out as a way of giving context for the Messiah? But in my reading this week, another commentator said, it doesn't matter because all of scripture points to Jesus. All of scripture points. That is one thing that we should always remember, that all of scripture finds meaning in Jesus and especially in his death and resurrection. That is how scripture makes sense. Jesus is the center of all things, the one who is giving us understanding through his actions. And all of these things are foretold in the Bible. Lastly, Jesus wants us to know that the point of the cross was repentance and the forgiveness of sins, and that these things are to be proclaimed in his name to all nations. that those who are witnesses and those who believe afterwards are to tell the truth that they know and understand of this amazing, amazing thing that happened, that Jesus is alive, that Jesus is the one sent from God, the Messiah. And because that is true, we are told to reach out with his love to bring a cup of cold water, to bring justice and hope and salvation. This is what we do in the community as the people of God. Wherever we go out of these doors, that is the point. Luke is setting the scene for the book of Acts, of course, his sequel, where believers will spread the gospel wherever God sends them. In verse 49, Jesus reminds them how the Holy Spirit will come. It's a little obscured. It's kind of hidden. He says this, I am sending upon you what my Father promised, so stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. We who believe in Jesus are clothed with power from on high. That is a beautiful picture. So this morning, we have come to worship the risen Lord, and we've walked through these doors so that we might remember the sacrifice and the life Jesus generously gives us. So what's important to Jesus for his followers is to receive the gifts which are made possible by the resurrection. The gifts that we receive is that we know true peace. The gifts that we receive is that we are free to examine the evidence of God's life. The gift that we receive is that we can cherish the word graciously given to us through scripture that show us the way. The gift that we can receive is that we can embody the power of the Spirit to be witnesses for the forgiveness of sins. So from this text, we are invited to come to Jesus, Jesus who is among us now, and to reflect, how are we receiving these gifts? We have to be reminded of how these are gifts that Jesus, the risen Lord, wants us to have. So where in your life do you need peace? Where do you need peace to counteract the fear that is happening in your heart and your mind? Where do you need to examine Jesus? Where do you need Jesus to show up and give evidence of his life to you? What role is God's word playing in your life? What does it mean that God has clothed you from power on high? How is it that you're proclaiming God's truth? You see, if these things are important to our risen Lord, then they are important to us. And this morning, as we take the elements in faith, as we celebrate and remember what the Lord has done, we pray that the Spirit will meet us and give us what we need so that we might live by faith in the one who has loved us and given himself for us. We're going to say the words of the liturgy now as we receive communion.
Thank you for listening. If you would like to learn more about the Free Methodist Church of Santa Barbara, you can visit us online at fmcsb.org. We pray this message has been a blessing to you.